Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to welcome you to a very special episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. I've interviewed many people of various backgrounds, some more well-known than others, some controversial, some have stories of overcoming hardships and trials, but I want to introduce you to someone today who has a special calling, a special anointing that you don't hear much about today. Now, we're all familiar with the Bible's books by the Apostle John. John, the one whom Jesus loved, as he refers to himself in the Bible. You know, John, the one whom Jesus entrusted the care of his earthly mother to. John, the one whom the Lord revealed himself to and told him to write the book of Revelation. We have someone on the line today who has received a special calling to walk in the same anointing as the Apostle John, to ready the body of Christ and the earth to receive our soon returning King. And I'll let him get into the details of all that he's been doing and to walk out that calling. He's written several Christian books, so one Divine Revelation and one's The Heavenly Church, and we may talk about those if we have time. But help me welcome to the program, John Meacham. John, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, Pastor Bob. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor to join your effort to promote evangelism in the world today. I think that the world is vastly growing darker and darker each day. We seem to be growing further and further away from the light of heaven. And any efforts that I see that people like you that are reaching out to enlighten people and to draw them closer to the Lord, I applaud that. I do thank you for referring to the fact that my claim, and I want to make it sure that people understand it is a claim. My belief is that my role as a Christian is that I am John. I am here waiting for the second coming. Amen. Now, most folks say, well, you know, how do you know you're that? How do you know there's a date? How do you know the time? Well, my website, dazzlinglight.org, I want to read you the first couple of lines on there so people can get an idea of where I'm coming from.
Okay.
It starts out with a quote from the Gospel of Luke where Jesus tells us, be ready. Be ready for whatever comes, dressed for action and with lamps lit, like servants who are waiting for their master to come back from a wedding feast. When he comes and knocks, they will open the door for him at once. How happy are those servants whose master finds them awake and ready. Mm-hmm. Now, you'll notice already twice Jesus has used the word ready. So that's a lot of my emphasis in my ministry is telling folks it's time to get ready. Yeah. Ready when he returns, and you must be ready, ready again, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you're not expecting him. Now, this came from the Gospel of Luke. It's towards the end of chapter 12. And right below that, I write on the website, brothers and sisters, the unexpected hour of Jesus' second coming is near. I say this because as Jesus foretold in John 21:22, when he said to Peter about John, if I want him to live until I come, what is that to you? Follow me. I am John. I am living now. And I'm actually returning to Galilee to await Jesus' second coming in the not-too-distant future.
Amen. So when... let me back up. Let's start, I guess, at the beginning. October 1982 on your website was a major transformation that happened to you spiritually. Tell us what happened that day.
It was. Actually, it's my born-again date, and I thank you for asking that, Pastor Bob. For a while there, I was thinking being born again had dropped off the face of Christianity, but I do a lot of posting on Twitter. And you can actually get my Twitter name on my website, dazzlinglight.org, and you can follow me on Twitter. But what I have found is it seems to be coming more and more of a characteristic of Christians, which it should be.
Yeah.
I posted my born-again date, October 24th, 1982. I'm actually 36 years old in spiritual years. And to give you an idea of how old I am physically, my physical birthday was Monday, October 22nd. I was born in 1951, so physically I'm 67, and spiritually I'm 36. Amen. And I think that's an important distinction, because when we realize and when we go back and study this passage in John where Jesus talks to Nicodemus about being born again, mm-hmm. we realize that Nicodemus is not what we would consider the cookie-cutter Christian from Jesus' era. You know, Jesus' era was poor folks and prostitutes and tax collectors and fishermen and all of them. And then all of a sudden, here's this rich religious Pharisee sitting there, and Jesus is telling him about being born again.
Yeah.
So at that point in Nicodemus' life, you know, when you read the story, you say, well, nothing happened here. But when you continue in the Gospel of John, you realize Nicodemus did change.
Yeah.
He actually spoke up for Jesus in the Sanhedrin when they were going to take him to trial, and he even, brave upon bravery, he even helped Joseph of Arimathea
yep.
carry Jesus' body from the cross to the grave.
Yep.
And so, Pastor Bob, that's what happened to me on 10/24/82 when I was curled in a fetal position on the shower floor. The Holy Spirit entered me, and I'm reading this from my website, dazzlinglight.org, and I experienced a second birth as John the Apostle.
Hmm.
I realized then that I had this role to play of John. A couple of times that I remember from my experiences as John, and believe me, it's not a whole slew of memories going back to those days, but I would like to share a couple of them with you.
Sure.
Pardon me while I pause, because one of them, the first one I want to share, is very hard to remember. When you talked about John at the cross, Jesus, who we called Yeshua, was actually my cousin. His mother Mary and my mother Salome were sisters. So the reason that I was at the cross was not really as an apostle, it was as a member of his family.
Right.
And I went there to be with my mother and to be with his mother as he was dying. And one of the things that my memory cannot fully comprehend, but I get bits and pieces of it that the people of this era will never comprehend, was the cruelty of Rome. I mean, you can't imagine the cruelty of sitting there looking at your cousin dying on the cross with these nails in his wrist. You know, I have a stigmata, I don't know if you've read that, which is mm-hmm. scars at both wrists. So I have the signs of Jesus from the cross. And when he looked down and said, "Take care of my mother," he was saying that to a relative who was a friend who would care for his mother, who would get all of the family would stick together after he was gone. And that was such a powerful experience, and it's one of the things that I have remembered. The other memory that I have that's clear, probably the clearest memory, was this time when the seven of us were out on the Sea of Galilee fishing. And if you go to that story in Scripture, it's actually chapter 21. I'll give you a little inside story. It says there's seven disciples, but it only lists five names. Well, the other two that were with us were Andrew and Matthew. Now, Andrew was great because he was a fisherman, but Matthew was a tax collector. He was actually no good at all on the fishing boat, but he wanted to stay with us. And the most vivid image I have of Jesus from that era was when he's standing there on the shore, and he's got this white robe on. And, you know, I've often thought everything I have, my dreams of the second coming, all my visions of him, the memories I've had of him, he's always in this white robe. And when he does come again and I go back to Galilee to meet him there, I've often wondered, is he going to want me to take him to Tiberias and buy him some new clothes, or is he just going to wear this white robe all the time? But in this exchange with Peter, you have to remember that Peter was called to such a high purpose, and Jesus was always trying to get him to go to a higher level, and that was what was happening in this conversation. he was saying, do you love me? And when we look at the Greek words, they're using the word agape. Do you love me enough to die for me? But Peter's saying, well, I love you, but maybe not quite that much. It's more like a friend. And he did that to him three times. And then Peter turns and looks at me, and he says, what about him? You're putting all this pressure on me. What about him? And that's what happened when, in October of 82, when I went through and was born again, all of a sudden I realized, now granted, you need to know, I didn't say anything to anybody for 34 years, but I realized then, that's who I am. I am that person called to be here waiting for Jesus when he returns.
Why did you not tell anyone for 34 years?
You know, I've often wondered that, but it's hard to even talk about it now. And the only solace scripturally I take from my actions, one, you can see on January the 7th, 1983, I saw the dazzling light of the glory of God. It was 14 years before I told anybody about that. And when I read about Paul, and when Paul was on the road to Damascus, and he saw the light of Christ, and Christ spoke to him. You know, there was actually 14 years before he said anything. And I'll be honest with you, Pastor Bob, I don't think it was my choice. I don't think I was ready. I don't think the Lord was ready for me to go around talking about something before I had enough history behind me, before I'd experienced all these other divine revelations. Before I had pastored churches, before I had written Christian books, before I had understood what it was I was saying, because I'll be honest with you, and I know in the type of ministry work you do, you've probably realized this too. I'm a lot like Ezekiel. You know, when the Lord said to Ezekiel, you know, you got to go tell this, whether those rebels listen to you or not, they will know that a prophet has been among you. So, I mean, I've got to have enough history, enough background, and to be honest with you, Bob, I have to have enough words to be able to support what I'm saying, because this is the word of the Lord for the people of the Lord. We're, as you are, as anybody, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're trying to call all we're trying to call people to believe.
Right. Amen. The reason I was laughing is my calling into the ministry was from Ezekiel chapter 2 and chapter 3. That's the scripture that when the Lord revealed to me that was the calling on my life. And because my wife and I were sitting out on the back porch. We lived in Texas at the time. We're just having our morning devotionals. We'd drink a cup of coffee. And I guess all the blood drained out of my face because she looked up. She goes, what happened? What's wrong? You know, as I just shook my head. And said, I must have read that wrong. I went back and read it again.
Oh no!
it was 100% spot on. And I've always been told I had a hard head, and it said right there, "I've made your head harder than their heads." So don't be the same.
Amen. Oh, I love that. I love that. Oh, that is great.
So I was like, oh.
Well, you know what I've written in my Bible under the words where it says, whether those rebels listen to you or not, they will know that a prophet has been among them.
Yep.
You know, the most critical words from my first calling in the Revelation was the words from the cave at Patmos. Well, my living environment right now is like a cave. I'm sitting here. I have nothing but my laptop in front of me. I got the picture of the dazzling light hanging on the wall. I've got the Divine Revelation cover and a Father's Day message there. Because what I've come to realize, and I'm sure in radio ministry you see this too, you have to get into a form of isolation to truly preach a divine message. Let the Lord come down, let him speak to you, and send it back out into the world. Because once we go into the world, no matter who we are, we have impurities. The only one without impurities was Christ.
Yep.
And if we let the world prostitute our message, then something changes. So as John, I think probably over the years what the Lord was doing is isolating me down, to give me a message that had meaning for other people. Even if they didn't participate in the second coming, it had meaning for them. I told you on 11/16/16 was actually when I revealed the message that I was John the Apostle. I was just finishing a Bible study, and we were on the Gospel of John, and we came to this last part, and the Lord punched me and said, you know, urged of the Spirit, says, you got to reveal it now. So I went to my pastor after the study, and I told him who I was. I showed him the stigmata and all of that. Mm-hmm. And it was a very critical date, because if you look on the website, the next date mentioned there is during my devotions on 11/16/82, the Holy Spirit led me outside where I saw a fiery cloud. Inside the cloud, a swarmy mixture of orange, red, and yellow fire illuminated the pre-dawn sky. Then from the fiery cloud, God said these words loud and clear, make it simple, get it right. And that's what I've been trying to do as the Lord winnows down the message in me, to make the message simple and get it right so that people will understand Jesus is on the horizon and we've got to get ready.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about these, that you had three distinct dreams about Jesus' second coming. Tell us what happened in these dreams and how they impacted you.
Well, the first one I'm a little bit ashamed of. The first one, and I'll read you from the website. In my first dream of Jesus' second coming on 10/19/83, Jesus stood on the solid gray cloud descending through a cloudless blue sky as the sun shone off his white clothes. The dazzling reflection of the sun's yellow light off his white clothes filled me with the same fear. You know, you can see the page above. When I saw the dazzling light, I was afraid as when I saw the dazzling light and I awoke in a cold sweat. I was scared, Pastor Bob. I was really scared. It happened at our family home in Blowing Rock, North Carolina. We slept in a bedroom that literally you couldn't see the ground. It went right down into the Globe Valley, and, you know, there was a wall of three windows, and I see Jesus coming through the sky on this cloud, and he's huge. I mean, he's huge. And all this, you know, the dazzling light, just like from the glory of heaven, and I was just scared, so I woke up. Now, in the second one, it gets a little better. I wasn't so much afraid. In my second dream of Jesus' second coming on 6/21/84, I waited in the front yard and looked into the cloudless blue sky to see Jesus, dazzling white, riding on a gray cloud. Again, I was afraid and knelt trembling on the ground by the dogwood tree. As I gazed into his face, which glowed with the lights of heaven, Jesus walked to my side, placed his right hand on my shoulder and said, "Do not be afraid. I have work for you to do." One of the things that I've come to realize over time as memories kick in and live action takes place, this is exactly what he said to me as I was starting at the Isle of Patmos. The same thing, the same, you know, do not be afraid.
Yep.
I'll never forget when I went to Galilee to write the book, Is Your Church Heavenly? Jesus had called me there to write a current application of the seven messages to the seven churches. And I flew into Tel Aviv. I was by myself. I got my rental car and started driving out of Tel Aviv. And all of a sudden, the road just ended. I had no idea where I was, Pastor Bob. I turned and ended up in some nightclub district. I got scared there. Finally, I turned back around and I pulled into the gas station to do a very non-male thing. I was going to ask for directions. And the guy was pumping somebody's gas. They actually still had full-service gas in Israel at that time. He stopped pumping their gas. He walked up to my car, and the first thing he said was, "Do not be afraid. I will help you find your way." And so from that second dream, I kept this sense of, you know, I've got work to do. I've got work to do for Jesus. So, you know, I went to become a lay pastor. I pastored churches. I preached. I taught. I wrote books. But I started the process of working for Jesus. Now, I think I need to draw a little semblance in there or description of myself. John Meacham has been a CPA all his life. I'm a numbers guy. In other words, I went to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I studied accounting, passed the CPA exam, worked for a CPA firm for years and years. Everything was all about numbers. You know, I knew nothing about words. I even made D's in spelling in the eighth grade. I mean, it was terrible. But then all of a sudden, after I was born again, this word person emerged, who is John. You know, I write and write and write, and I can't stop writing. And that is, to me, has shown the work that I do for Jesus is primarily the words that I put on my website, the words that I put in books, the words that I put in sermons. But I'm in the word world.
Yeah.
Now, the third dream was definitely the most significant of the dreams. It happened in October 10, 1984, and I stood waiting by a green Hyundai at the Earth and Stone stage at the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee. Now, if your listeners will go to the website dazzlinglight.org, they'll read about this particular place. It's the place that I have seen Jesus come and the place that I'm going back to wait for him on his second coming. The interesting thing about the green Hyundai was, you know, when you get signs for the Lord, you always look for confirmation. At least I do. Well, at the time I went there in 2005, this is a dream I had in 1984. But when I went to the Earth and Stone stage to write the book in 2005, guess what kind of car I was driving at home from my home in Raleigh, North Carolina to Dulles Airport?
Same one?
A green Hyundai. When I went to the Tel Aviv airport and went to pick up my budget rental car, guess what it was?
A green Hyundai.
There, the car from my dream is the car I'm actually driving 19 years later. Or, wow. Yeah, 21 years later. So it's like, you know, everything is kind of coming around full circle.
That's awesome. Amen.
The message today from that dream that day is that when Jesus got into the car and he got into the back seat, and I looked at him in the rearview mirror before we pulled out onto Highway 92 there in the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus said, "I am ready." And that's the message I keep getting now, Pastor Bob, over and over and over. Jesus is ready to return.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about that. You say that the Lord told you to drive to this park and pick him up. Why would he ask you to do something like that?
Oh, I get asked to do stuff like that all the time.
Yeah.
And I want to, what happens in my life now, and it's been happening for quite a while, and, you know, I need to remind you and your listeners that for me, all of this has been happening over the last 36 years.
Yeah.
For you and your listeners, this has all been happening over the last 20-some minutes or less.
Right, right.
So, you know, it seems like this doesn't make sense, all of this happening all of a sudden. It didn't happen all of a sudden.
Hmm.
You know, it's the messages that I keep getting from dreams and visions. And I think in clarity, to put it in words, I hope help people understand, a lot of my actions spiritually have been based on faith and not facts.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
In other words, it's not like somebody wrote me a letter or, you know, I got a phone call from someone, get up and go here. You know, it's the faith that when I woke up in the middle of the night at 2:19 a.m., actually is when it usually happens, and this message is in my head from Jesus and I write it down and I put it out here, and I read back over and I realize, gosh, that really was from Jesus. I mean, I could have never come up with those words. But you learn how to, and you've done it in your ministry.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how much have you done over the last 10 years in your ministry have been acts of faith, based on faith rather than based on facts?
And just about all of it. Amen.
Right.
Yep. Let me back up to the trip to Galilee in 2005 for a second.
Okay.
You said that you're searching for the place that you've seen in your dream and that this is supposed to be where Jesus is going to return to. I thought the Bible said he was going to return to Mount of Olives because when his feet would touch the earth, you know, the mountain would split in two from an earthquake and all that. But you're saying he's going to Galilee and not the Mount of Olives?
It's where I've seen in my dream. It's where I've been told to go to wait for him. Now, I need to make that real clear. I'm not saying that I know what God's going to do. I don't. But I know what God's told me to do. Does that make sense?
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. And we are all out of time for today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. And I hope you find this interview with John Meacham as interesting as I do. I mean, I love it when I'm able to talk with someone who knows their calling. They know what their mission is in this life, in this earth, and they're living it. They're fulfilling it. You know, you may agree with it or not. That is not a decision for you to make. Your only decision, when you have a calling from God, you have one of two choices, obey or disobey. John Meacham has decided to obey, even at the cost of being ridiculed, at the cost of being despised, at the cost of being called a heretic, and all the other myriad things that could go along with it. But he's fulfilling his calling. And I just, I find his interview so fascinating, and I hope you are as well. Now, that was only part one. We're only halfway through this thing. Come back tomorrow as we continue our interview with John Meacham, the apostle sent from God, the Apostle John, John Meacham. And till next time, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.